It feels like a movie. Feels like something I've seen on TV or something like that. It's not something I've ever heard somebody tell me actually happened, you know?
Oh, yeah.
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 Hi, I'm Jeremy Powell, and here on the Peach Jam Podcast, I get to introduce you to incredible Georgia musicians, from hometown favorites you already love to brand new voices you're about to discover. It's my job to find different types of people and different types of sounds from all over the Peach State. This podcast is a mix of performances and down-to-earth conversations, all recorded live at the GPB Studios in Midtown Atlanta. On this episode, you'll meet Slow Parade, a musical project built around American songs, shared musicianship, and the idea that no two shows ever have to sound the same.
My name is Matthew Pendrick. I'm from Decatur, Georgia. I play music with a band called Slow Parade. Slow Parade, most people would say, plays 20th century American vernacular music.
What? Okay, expound on that, please.
I like all kind of music, like most people, and just kind of, I think of the music that we do is just kind of a hodgepodge of my influences, whatever I'm enjoying. And most of that tends to be just the vast array of great music that has come out of America in the past 100 years or so. It's everything from blues, country, rock and roll, punk rock, jazz, 20th century American vernacular.
I like it. Yeah, I'm not going to argue. It's your music. You can call it whatever you want, but... As when you said it, I'm like, huh? But it fits. It really fits because it is uniquely American, where it's not quite country, it's not quite bluesy, it's not quite folk. It's just good.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I like to kind of pour it all in there, mix it around, and maybe blur it a little bit, throwing it back on the canvas.
Watching a train going down the line, I wonder which way will it go. Spinning my wheels, going round and round, not too much to show. Kicking a can down the road, scratching that itch, I've been digging that hole, just wasting away.
Now, the band is called Slow Parade. Are you the band, or are you part of the band? Like, does the Slow Parade exist without you?
Yeah, that would be cool. I'd like to hear that. I write all the songs and then kind of have a rotating cast of people that I love to play with. There's so many awesome musicians in Atlanta, and I've been really lucky to get to play with a whole bunch of them and have them come through the band. So, yeah, kind of a rotating cast, I would say.
I don't know if you answered that question, though. So you are Slow Parade.
I am him. Yeah. Yeah. But if anyone else would like to be a Slow Parade, I'd love to hear what you do with it.
Yeah. Who are some of those people you get to play with?
Evan Sarver on bass, who I had with me today. I often have Ryan Van Fleet on drums, or Jared Pepper on drums, or Steven Chopek on drums. Who else? This weekend we're going to have Ian Klin on the piano. I've also had Spencer Pope on piano, Rhett Huffman, Matt Walkop, Ethan Fogus on the pedal steel guitar, Matt Stossel on the pedal steel guitar, Austin Harris on the pedal steel guitar. That's probably just a little handful of people that recently have been in.
So if you're operating like this, so you're Matthew, but you're also Slow Parade. And then when Slow Parade books a gig, you then go out and find the people to fill it? Is that what I'm picking up?
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking about who will be the right fit for the gig, you know, depending on what we're going to play, where we're playing, how long, what kind of sound is going to work right in that space and in that time.
Okay. So that means that depending on where I was to see Slow Parade, I could see different types of shows?
There's many different Slow Parades, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Sometimes I like to play kind of more acoustic setup. Sometimes it's a little more rocking. Sometimes we got the pedal steel guitar. It's leaning like a little more country. Yeah, so lots of different flavors. I like to just kind of write the songs and then they can wear kind of whatever clothes they want.
He got bicycle wheels and alternators. He got a lawnmowers and radiators, iron stoves, wire hangers. He got fitted tanks filled up with carburetors. Passive things and tire wheels, railroad spikes and cargo fits, busted locks, bending locks. I hope you got your tender shot for baling wire and broken pliers, nuts and bolts and beat up tires, copper, cobalt, iron, steel, and powder. Let's make it. Let's make a deal.
Tell me about recycling.
Recycling? I'm glad you asked, Jeremy. Recycling is something I try to do. It's just a small thing that we can do for the planet and for our survival on the planet. That song that I was singing, Quick Buck, I'd been working on it with my buddy Dave out in Athens, and we were a little stuck, and he said, well, I got to take this recycling down the road to the recycling plant. Why don't we do that? We'll come back. We'll get some fresh air. And while we were there, I was just kind of noticing all the crazy stuff that's sitting around a recycling center, and I just started jotting things down, and then it kind of clicked for me maybe that was what the song could be about.
We a silver spoon, it ain't worth a damn, and the old copper rises up to scrap metal man. No, you silver spoon, it ain't worth a damn, and the old copper rises up to scrap metal man. No, you silver spoon, it ain't worth a damn, and the old copper rises up to scrap metal man. No, you silver spoon, it ain't worth a damn, and the old copper rises up to scrap metal man. Shortcut round some hard luck. You just need a quick buck. Just need a quick buck. Just need a quick buck. Just need a quick buck.
That to me it's fascinating, like it's super interesting, and it's one of those things that feels like an errand that's just, I don't want to have to deal with this. But for you, it was inspiration for a song.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I kind of think, you know, as an artist, you got to stay as open as you can to inspiration. It could really come at any time from anything, from anyone, and sometimes it comes at times when you don't really want it, or you want to, you know, lay in bed or keep watching TV or something. But I think if the more you can chase it down right when you get the inspiration, I think the better off you're gonna be. Sometimes it's hard to get back to that same mental place of inspiration after the muses has left.
When did this start?
Yeah, I started playing music just in the school band in grade school, and I wasn't really that interested in guitar, really, but when I was in high school, I was playing saxophone, and somebody my mother worked with gave her a guitar, I think actually for my younger brother, but I got a hold of it first and started having a lot of fun playing it, and then just through circumstance, I wound up kind of meeting some other guitar players, songwriters, and just started having a lot of fun doing it. I was used to playing like marching band and orchestral band, and mm-hmm. guitar and songwriting was fun because you could do it by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, I think that it, I kind of caught the fire because it was a good way to kind of just explore, you know, your mind, your emotions, process things. So really the songwriting thing is, I think, what really bit me.
So you started writing songs, what, at like 16, 17 years old?
Yeah, around there. Yeah. They weren't very good, probably. I don't remember.
Yeah. And then, so what's the journey like after that? So you started piddling around with a guitar and writing songs in high school. Like, where did you go to meet these people to keep fostering that?
Yeah. One of my early mentors and inspirations was a guy named Guitar Red, who I met in Decatur when I was in high school. I was working at an ice cream shop on the square there in downtown Decatur. And he was a street musician and would play right outside the shop. And I had just started playing guitar. I was really interested and started hanging out with him, learning a lot. And eventually started playing some gigs with him and met people that he was playing with who he was a lot older than me, as were the rest of the guys. And then, yeah, I kind of started a band with some of them, and they'd all been gigging around town for decades. And yeah, I kind of just fell into it that way.
Well, the red light on the dashboard, yes, it tells me that I'm blind and just to pray this van will be okay another mile. Well, she fills the air with gasoline, the cabin's loud as an F-16, the CD player don't even work, the tape deck spins only in reverse. This old van and me, this old van and me, we're just a soldier ahead down the freeway, gonna get there when we get there, baby, that's okay, cause we got a full tank and she got clean plates, gonna make it, not in style.
Paint the picture for me. How old was Guitar Red when you met him?
I think Guitar Red was probably in his 40s.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's on the square in Decatur, Georgia.
Yeah.
Busking and playing his guitar for tips.
Yeah. And in a little Five Points, and we went all over.
And you're 17?
Yeah.
And then, so the guy outside the ice cream shop that's playing guitar, you were like, oh, hey, he's cool. And you were the kid that started hanging out with this older dude who's doing this. Like, this is, it feels like a movie. Feels like something I've seen on TV or something like that. It's not something I've ever heard somebody tell me actually happened, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would just credit that, I guess, to that being the type of place that Decatur was back in the day, and my parents for being pretty cool and understanding and let me figure it out.
Yeah, you're a teenager and you're like, hey, I'm going to play some gigs with these old dudes I met on the street.
Yeah.
And your parents were like, okay, be home by 11.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. It was an interesting education. Learned a lot of what to do and also what not to do.
Yeah. Can you tell me some of those what not to do's?
Oh, Maybe not on camera.
Okay. Yeah, that's all right.
Well, I ran the ties down to the wire. Every handle busted off at times. The disc brakes squeal every time you touch them. The O2 sensors, they leak combustion. This old van and me. This old van and me. It was a rainy night down in Cabbage Town. A drunkie up his smash, the windows out. She slashed the tires, cussed me out. I forgive, I can't forget somehow. This old van and me. This old van and me. It just slowed her ahead down the freeway. Gonna get there.
Tell me about Sienna.
Sienna is my minivan. She's a Toyota. The original Sienna was born in 2001. I don't remember when I got her. She was pretty old by the time she got to me. And just as a working musician, you know, a minivan actually is a great choice because they're pretty affordable. They run for a long time and you can fit a lot of gear in them, so it's really helpful when you're trying to get the band and everybody and all their stuff from place to place. Actually, I first got a minivan because I was playing with my friend Andrea, who played the upright bass.
Okay.
And you need a lot of room for an upright bass.
Back on that tow from Birmingham, we were home by sunrise when you quit the band in a traffic jam at 6 a.m. But maybe you'll come around again to this old van and me. Yeah, this old van and me. Well, we had some times.
You know, that song was really one that just came out of nowhere. I wrote it during the COVID pandemic. I was feeling like really uninspired at the time. It was just so much going on. You know, art and songwriting and my own work can start to feel pretty insignificant pretty quickly at a time like that. But I just felt like I wanted to do something to kind of get the ball rolling, and I just looked out the window and there was the van, and I thought, that's a pretty low stakes subject. Just give it a go. And yeah, I just started kind of singing. I sold the van to a guy who ran a concrete pouring business down south of town, I think in Jonesboro.
Okay.
So hopefully she's living on. His brother was a mechanic, so he knew what to do.
Okay, but you got a new old van.
Got a brand new used old van, yeah.
Another Toyota Sienna. Yes, I saw it. It's in the loading dock here.
She's
at GPB.
A beaut.
Yes.
She's beautiful.
And there's so much room in there.
Yeah.
Is Slow Parade your only music job?
No, I love to play music in all kinds of circumstances. So I've had, a variety of experiences playing music professionally for funerals, churches, weddings, yoga classes. I love to play with other singer-songwriters. Done a lot of touring with some other people. So I like the variety. It keeps it fresh for me.
So you're a gun for hire, right?
Yeah. I get kind of inspired by other people's songs, too, and kind of learning them, getting inside them. So, yeah, it's really fun for me.
Have you really played at a yoga class?
I have, yeah. Yeah, I was playing for a while
like,
with
my
friend.
What does that look like?
It looks like me just... this was a restorative yoga class, so it's pretty long, and people would get in these poses and stay there for a long time. And I was playing ambient music, kind of inspired by people like Brian Eno, stuff like that. So, yeah, it's a lot of drone-y kind of music, and it's very light, very quiet. So I felt like I was doing a good job, actually, when people fell asleep.
Okay.
As they often did. So.
And I know that you've been on tour with another member of the Peach Jam family, with Pony Bradshaw.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had a bunch of fun. Been all over the place. Yeah.
What's it like going on tour with him and playing his music and while yours is taking a back seat or taking a break? Do you work on your music while you're on tour with somebody else?
You never know. I don't often... get inspired to write on tour. I feel like when I'm on tour, that's kind of like input mode. And then you take some time to process, you know, some of the crazy stories you hear or weird things that happen to you. But yeah, it's a great group of guys in that band. So yeah, we have a good time.
In action.
All right, the song's called Jackpot. I wrote this down in Providence Canyon, down in South Georgia. Before I almost got run away by a tornado. Sorry, I forgot about that part. Dragging my feet down a path I well know. The dust cloud, it echoed like a dog in the snow. Like a drunk singing psalms, I've been looking for signs in the entrails of the hearts I thought I'd left behind. So pull my gut strings till my ears ring. We're just taking up space on this melting time capsule, which may soon be erased. And holler jackpot, honk the car horn whenever you're passing by, just so I know your heart is beating. I hope it's keeping good time.
Something I will not erase.
good time. I hope you're keeping good time. I hope you're keeping good time. Are you keeping good time?
Do you have any of those road stories that you could share on GPB?
Well, lots of fun times with the van, you know, the van getting snowed in Wisconsin, or pulling up to the gig in like 2 feet of snow and people walking down the street in t-shirts like, this isn't fine. Or getting stuck in the sand in the desert outside a Joshua tree, or breaking down just somewhere, anywhere, everywhere.
It sounds to me like a traveling working musician would benefit from taking like mechanics 101 or something.
Yes. Oh yeah. Thankfully we have a seasoned mechanic in the band.
Okay, so, good.
Yes.
Good.
Bob, he is a jack of all trades.
What do you want people to know about Slow Parade?
Slow Parade is for everyone. Yeah, I hope that there's a little something in there that everyone can appreciate. Slow Parade, like we were talking about, it might not always sound the exact same, you know, from record to record or gig to gig, but I am just trying to write good songs, I guess, that mean something to me and hope that they resonate with someone else. Yeah.
What is the future for this project?
You know, I am looking forward to getting some new music out in the next year or so. Hopefully doing some more touring. I've always liked touring my own music, so hoping to do some more of that. And hoping to get a lot more calls to play quinceañeras.
Okay.
One of my favorites.
Are you joking, or have you actually done that?
No, I've never played a quinceañera.
So, but you've played a funeral, and you've played a yoga class, but you have not played a quinceañera.
I haven't played any quinceañeras.
I am sure we can make that happen.
Yes.
Yes.
GPB Universe, come to my aid.
Thank you for listening. If you want more, you can catch all three songs from Slow Parade, start to finish, on GPB's YouTube page. And don't forget to leave a quick rating and review. It honestly helps more than you know. And if you like what we're doing here at Peach Jam, tell somebody. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your kid's teacher, whoever you can find. And if this is your first time here, I invite you to go back, listen to some of those other episodes. You might just find that your next favorite band lives right down the road. On the next episode of Peach Jam, you'll meet a blues vocalist with a big, big voice.
I like to sing sweet and little and, you know, harmonies and do whatever, but I really like my low, big voice. And I've hated it for a really long time, really long time. You knew me 5 years ago, like, I'm not even singing in front of you.
Frankie No Name is on the next episode of the Peach Jam Podcast. The Peach Jam Podcast is produced, edited, and hosted by me, Jeremy Powell. If you want to recommend an artist to be on the show, send me an email, peachjam@gpb.org. Sandy Malcolm is our executive producer. Mark Davenport is our associate producer. Recording, mixing, and mastering by David Spence and Victoria Evans Cash. Special thanks to the team at Sounds Good. Find us on Instagram at Peach Jam Podcast and look for Peach Jam on TV wherever you watch Georgia Public Broadcasting. In the meantime, please support live local music and independent record stores in your area.